Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. If you have a Bible this morning, we're going to be in Galatians 4. Verses 4 and 5. We looked at this last year, but you know what? I think most of us forgot what happened yesterday, much less last year. So don't come to this passage, oh, well, I've read this before, I've heard this before, I know this. No, 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 no. God is able to speak things into our heart and into our life, even when you've been through John 3:16 a million times. You can get a fresh word from God. And so let me read Galatians 4. I'll tell you what, I'll back up to verse 3 because it makes a little more sense there when you read that as well. Galatians 4 and verse 3, let's stand as we honor the reading of God's Word. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Father, add Your blessing this morning to the reading, to the teaching, and to the preaching of Your holy, inerrant, inspired Word. And give us the courage to say yes to Jesus. In His name we ask it. Amen. Please be seated. You know, Christmas time at Second Mile is a very special time. We are celebrating our third Christmas together. Can you believe that? We'll have been a church for 3 years in March. We're going to celebrate this year. We didn't get to celebrate our anniversary last year. But we're going to do that. But this is our, and Christmas is so sweet and so special here at Second Mile Church. Tell somebody he's right. You know, it's filled with praise and worship, great music and songs of the season that we've heard today. Christmas is filled with fellowship and the giving and receiving of gifts. I mean, weren't those donut holes good this morning? And the coffee was hot, amen, Dick? And it's just such a special time at Christmas here at Second Mile Church. It's a season of filling up shoeboxes for children, going Christmas caroling, taking up special offerings for our missionaries. It is a special, special season. But I want to tell you what made it so special. What makes Christmas special at Second Mile Church is what happened on that first Christmas. So I'd like for all of us to go back to that first Christmas this morning, if we can, in our minds and in our hearts, when Christ was born. Scholars, preachers, and pastors call this season that we're in the incarnation. God incarnate became a man. Well, just who was it that came? Well, did you catch that there in verse 4? God sent forth His Son. God sent forth His Son. That's who came 2,000 years ago. When Jesus was born, God was spilling Himself out in human form, in human flesh. Philippians 2, 6 and 7 reveals that Jesus has always been God but became a man. Are you with me so far? Jesus has always been God, but He became a man for our sakes. Aren't you glad that God sent forth His Son this morning? And you know, as God, He is from everlasting to everlasting. As God, He is Alpha and Omega. But as man, He lived 33 years on the face of this earth. He took on flesh and blood for 33 years. As God, He's sinless. But as man, He was tempted with every single sin that we're tempted with. Hallelujah. And so he understands what temptation's all about. He understands our weaknesses. Aren't you grateful for that? As God, he sits on the throne of the universe. But as we learned back at Easter time, as man, he sat on the back of a donkey. Now, if you were God, would you have sent your son into Jerusalem that day on the back of a donkey? No, I don't think so. And so, as we looked at last week, when Mary and Joseph looked into that manger on that first Christmas night, they were looking into the very face of God in that manger. And you know, we saw glimpses of God, did we not, when Jesus was here? I mean, we got a little glimpse of the glory from time to time in those fabulous miracles that our Lord exhibited. Remember the miracle when Jesus changed the water into wine at that wedding in Cana of Galilee. You remember the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000. You remember the stilling of the storm. You remember the raising of Lazarus, the healing of thousands. But I want to tell you, he was just as much man as he was God. And when Jesus was born, God sent forth his Son. Don't ever forget that. That's why we celebrate Christmas. And then let's take a look at just a minute how he came. How he came. The scripture says there again in verse 4 that he was born of a woman. Now, in this verse of scripture that Paul's writing in Galatians 4, he is telling us that Jesus was the promised seed that Moses talked about over there in Genesis 3:15. He is the promised one. Isaiah 7:14, as we looked at last Sunday, remember what Joseph told you all? He was not only the virgin-born Son of God, he was virgin conceived by the Holy Spirit. God somehow looked on his womb and on her womb, and the Spirit of God moved on Mary and she conceived. You know, it wasn't so much that Jesus was virgin born, he was conceived by, we call it the Immaculate Conception. And that makes some of us Baptists nervous because that's Catholic. Well, you know, you've got to believe in this virgin conception, this thing that happened. And you know, Joseph had a hard time believing it. Y'all remember last week? I mean, where would you have been? How would you have liked to be, guys, been in Joseph's shoes? Have mercy. And so, Jesus was born of a woman. The Holy Spirit moved on her and she conceived. And 9 months later, he was the heavenly child of an earthly mother, the earthly child of a heavenly father. Jesus was the virgin-born son of Mary. And the virgin birth, y'all, when I was in seminary, Southern Baptists were paying my professors' paychecks, and I heard stuff like this, that the virgin birth was not only true, it wasn't necessary. God help us. That was to shape some of our seminaries, and that's another sermon for another time. But the virgin birth is true, and it is necessary. Because you see, my brothers and my sisters, if there's no virgin birth, there's no sinless life. You know, he's got royal blood running through his veins, not ours. He's got sinless blood. And so if there's no virgin birth, there's no sinless life. And if there's no sinless life, there's no atoning sacrifice for our sins. And if there's no atoning sacrifice for our sins, there's no forgiveness of sin. And if there's no forgiveness of sin this morning, Second Mile, there's no hope. But Jesus did come. And he was born of a woman, and he fulfilled all the prophecies concerning who he was. That's how he came. Yeah, go ahead and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Now, the scripture also tells us here when he came. Look at this. When he came. He says, but when the fullness of time had come. Now, when Jesus was born, the world was providentially ready for the Son of God to arrive. I mean, the world was ready religiously. The Roman world was in great expectation for the deliverer. I mean, old philosophies, all of these old dead, dry religions had left people empty and spiritually barren. Do you know how dead and dry religion is? Some of y'all found out. What we need is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Religion will leave you dead and dry. And it was powerless to change the lives of those folks back in the day, just like it still is. Religious bankruptcy, spiritual hunger were everywhere. Religiously, the world was ready for a deliverer. And then politically or even historically, the world was ready. The Roman Empire prepared the world. They didn't know what they were doing, but they prepared the world for our Savior. Roads were built during Roman time and other times, but especially when during the Roman Empire, cities were connected with what? With roads. You've studied and heard about Billy talking about the great Ignatian Way, and all roads led to Rome. And so transportation was ready for the Lord. And Roman laws protected the rights of citizens. And for the first time in history, there was world peace. The great Romana Pax. There was peace in the world when Jesus was born. And thanks to the Greek culture and the Roman cultures, Latin and Greek and Aramaic and Hebrew were the prominent and prevalent languages spoken across the empire. And when Jesus was born, can I just tell you, it wasn't an accident. In the fullness of time, when God had prepared the world religiously and historically and politically, it was time for the Lord to be born. From the decree that all the world should be taxed to the fact that Mary was riding on the back of a donkey into Bethlehem, God had prepared the world for His birth. The fullness of time had come. And so that's who came. That's how He came, and that's when He came. What about why? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Why He came? Check this out. This is huge. Verse 5. To redeem those who were under the law. To redeem those that were under the law. Now you know about this word redeem. This word redeem means literally to be set free from the payment of a price. There's about 60 million slaves back in the day in the Roman Empire. 60 million slaves. And they were a lot of Christians were in slavery. They were slaves. A person could purchase a slave in that day in a Roman city and keep him or her for as long as he wanted to. Or he could set that slave free. I'm so thankful that our Master came to set us free. He came to set us free. The Jews were slaves to the law, but no one could keep the law, you see. The law was given to us to show us our need for redemption. Are y'all tracking with me this morning? Y'all with me so far? And so the reason that Christ came was to redeem us from the law. We were all slaves to sin. We were sinners in need of a Savior. You see, God is holy. Thrice holy. And He cannot even be in the presence of sin. He has to judge sin by His very nature. God hates sin. You know why God hates sin? Because of what it does to us. And so God hates sin so much He sent His Son. And you know what Jesus did at the age of 33? Yeah, you know what He did. He lived up to every single law. While He was here, never sinned, lived up to all of God's standards. I preach a sermon called God's Perfect Ten. Jesus is God's perfect ten. And in the fullness of time, when it was right, Jesus made the payment for sin so that we could be set free. You see, we were all slaves to sin under the penalty of sin. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so Jesus was the only one that could set us free from our sin. And His precious, wonderful, stainless, sinless, spotless blood satisfied God's wrath for our sin. He made the payment. He paid the price. Tell somebody Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. He redeemed us. And as believers, you know what that did for us? We're no longer under the law. We're under grace. Oh, you mean, Brother Cal, I can go out here and do anything I want to do and live any way I want to live? No. But you've been set free to live for His glory. And now you have His Spirit, if you're born again, in you. And you're no longer under that penalty. God will never haul you into His courtroom and say, Bobby, you're guilty? No. You've been set free from sin. And you have not only have been, you're no longer out from under the penalty of sin, you're not under the power of sin. You don't have to sin anymore. And you have His Spirit, which helps us to sin less and less. And God's so good, one day He's going to save us from the presence of sin. Oh, I need to come over to the amen corner a little bit more. He's going to save us even. You see, your body is not ready for heaven. My body's not, because my body's been cursed by sin. But God's even got that took care of. You're going to get a brand spanking new body. You're going to get the body you always wanted, girls. And did you catch that? That we, in verse 5, that we might receive the adoption as sons, and you could say daughters. And because you were sons and daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, listen to this, then an heir of God. Whoo! Through Christ. Have mercy. We are no longer slaves to sin, but children of God, heirs of God through Christ Jesus. Who came? God sent forth His Son. How did He come? He was born of a woman. When did He come? In the fullness of time. Why did He come? To redeem those that were under the law. And that, my friends, is what the incarnation is all about. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, how grateful I am. And how grateful we are that You left heaven and came to this old sin-cursed planet to redeem us, to pay the price for us. Each one of us was going to have to pay the price for all of eternity for our sin. And yet when You paid the price, when You shed Your blood, when You died, and You got up from the grave, 3 days later, it was not only possible for our sins to be forgiven, it's now possible for our sins to be forgotten. Hallelujah to Your name. How can we not live for Your glory? Oh God, help us this morning to respond to the gospel. As Michael prayed and sang, if there's someone here today that does not know You as Lord of this universe, may he or she give God what he may not have, their heart, their life, their all. With every head bowed, this is going to just be a season of response And we are going to prepare our hearts right now to receive the Lord's Supper. I want our ordained men to come and place the elements on the table. But as they come, and as they're doing that, let's all do business with God. Let's all ask the Lord, is there anything in my life you're not pleased with? Is there anything in my heart that I need to deal with? Just ask the Lord, is there anything that you're not pleased with in my life? Have you got it? That's the Holy Spirit's responsibility. That's His job. And now confess that sin or those sins. Repent, that means to turn from them, to have a change of the mind, to the change of the heart, and receive Him and His forgiveness. And thank Him for the wonderful opportunity to sit down at His table with Him this Christmas week. As we're in this time of prayer, I want to read some scripture while Michael plays for us. 1 Corinthians 11:23 says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread," just hours before His death. "And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' And in the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes." Father, until You come to get us, help us to proclaim Your death and Your resurrection. We look forward to that day when we'll sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb with You, and all Your children will be home, and we'll partake of that bread, that juice. But until then, Lord, we're sitting down spiritually at a table with You. And God, we thank You for the bread, which is symbolic of Your body that was broken for us, the beating You took, and the cup, which is symbolic of the blood that was shed so that we might go free. Thank You, Lord. Don't have to be a member of Second Mile Church to enjoy communion with us this morning. All that we ask is that you're born again. You know that you know that you know that you're born again. And that all your sins have been made right with God this morning. If you want to come, when you get ready, take the cup and the bread. The bread's already in the cup for you. And then take it back to your seat, and we'll all partake together. So just one by one, when you're ready, you come. This is not a time for our little bitty children. It's coming for them later. But if you're born again and you're right with God, just ask You to come right now to these tables. Take the cup and the bread back to your seat with you, and then we'll partake together. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.